Up to item 9, briefing Texas Parks and Wildlife Expo review. Ernie, here he comes.
Expo is a contact sport. My name is Ernie Gamage, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I'm the Branch Chief for Urban Outdoor Programs and Director of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Expo, here to talk to you about the 15th Annual Expo. And once again, our staff at Parks and Wildlife just did a fabulous job of putting this event on, thought to be by some to be the best we've ever had. I'll give you some details. We are lucky to have had some preliminary work from the visitor survey, so we've actually got some information more than we usually have about our visitors, what they liked, and who they were this year. We're going to look at the event in chronological order, and I'd like to reintroduce Dick Davis, who's the Executive Director of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, to come up and address us about the Friday night Expo Conservation Dinner and Auction. Dick?
I'm Dick Davis, Executive Director of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation. The Expo Conservation Banquet is evolving. A couple of years ago, the foundation was asked to take over the management of the Expo Banquet and Auction, which we did, and then this year it became the foundation's annual major fundraiser. And we moved it to Lost Pines Resort between here and Bastrop. We had the privilege of honoring Joe McBride this year, who is arguably one of the two or three founding fathers of the Expo Banquet and Expo itself. And we had a great crowd. We had 721 people actually attend the banquet. I don't know if that's a record or not, but everybody seemed to have a great time. The facility was great. We already have set the date, October 5th, 2007, to return to Lost Pines Resort, where we plan to expand what we've done there this year. And hopefully at the January meeting, I will have some announcements to share with you about some specific plans that we have that we think you will appreciate. We honestly, because we changed so many things this year, we don't know what the net money raised from the auction and the event itself will be, but we have high hopes, and we're evaluating that right now, and we pledge to not only raise more money in the future to support conservation in Texas, but to keep our costs as reasonable as we can, so that most of the money goes directly into conservation. So thank you.
It's a great, great effort. Well
done. That was Friday night. Let's look at Saturday. Here's the crowd lined up as they always do before the gates open. And we had a tremendous attendance this year, our best, in fact, since 2002. As you can see, on Sunday, we actually had more folks than we have had on Saturday. And this, in the 15-year history, is sort of an interesting number. We really don't know why, because both days were I don't want to say balmy, but they were tolerable, a nice breeze, and the sky was clear, at least on one of them. About 35,000, almost 36,000 folks. That information down at the bottom is where they parked, and you can see that 87% of them utilize the big hay field that we have out here and are lucky to be able to use each year. As usual, it's about a 50-50 split between youth under 18 and adults that come to the Wildlife Expo, which we like because the adults, we give them an opportunity to improve their skills, their knowledge of the outdoors, and move them into that stewardship arena. For kids, it's an opportunity to turn them into the anglers and hunters of tomorrow. So once again, we're just about at the 50-50 split. Here we are having to hold them back. 9 o'clock, we pull the trigger, and in they come. And what did they find this year? There were some major changes on the grounds that we implemented, which we were very pleased to say were extremely positive, looking at the number of participants in various activities. First of all, we were able to conglomerate all of the wildlife activities in one area. There's Dennis Gissel saying, come one, come all. Kids get into that area and find out about all sorts of things related to wildlife. We were actually able to, because of that, conglomerate all of the law enforcement activities and Colonel Flores' activities. This is the wild game tasting, this Operation Game Thief, and the Wall of Shame. Had a lot of really interesting activities, and that area, we believe, can even be better for next year. Kids learned how to shoot. There we are with some of our hunter ed instructors. He's learned how to paddle, learned about water safety. Folks found out about camping and outdoor skills, the difference between a $40 tent and a $400 tent, and where they can go in our state parks. And this is an interesting picture because, as we see in just a minute, for the first time ever, we had a 1% identifiable blip in the ethnicity of our crowd being Asian this year. There's a little Asian boy there catching his first fish. Folks were in the coastal tents looking at all manner of things, including that record tarpon that we had. Okay, who came? This is from the visitor survey, some preliminary information. We continue to look more like Texas. Our Hispanic numbers dropped a bit for this year compared to last year, but we did have more African Americans. There's that 1% Asian. And then, of course, we have about 4% of our visitors that say they are mixed or other. We're still trying to figure out what that means exactly. We have a little way to go. We're certainly looking more like Austin, but as far as looking like Texan, we still have a way to go, and we'll continue to market in the manner that we have because it's been productive. Where do our visitors come from? Some interesting information here. The five-county MSA metropolitan statistical area around Austin, that is Central Texas, provides about 80% of our visitors. Last year, you'll recall that we had Hurricane Rita and Katrina, and folks weren't traveling as much, so the percentage of people were actually a little bit higher, 82% last year. 2001, we had even fewer folks that lived in Austin and more people from outside the MSA. Where are they coming from? Again, around Central Texas, out in far west Texas, east Texas, certainly down by the Gulf, Houston area. This is from the zip code analysis that we did. Also, for the first time, we had a record number of self-initiated outreach buses. And I say self-initiated, the department simply provided information to youth groups, schools, and other organizations about how best to access Expo, where to park, where to drop your kids off. And we had 15 buses from Brownsville to Channelville, Channelview, San Antonio, Laredo, equaling almost 500 folks that came and visited us. And we're really happy about that. We'll continue to grow that number. As usual, we had lots and lots of Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, 4-H, Campfire boys and girls that come to Expo because it's such a great opportunity for them to experience the outdoors and earn those things that they need for advancement in their particular program. Now, let's look at a little bit of the information that Sally Williams and her crew put together from our marketing arena. First of all, as I said, this is the highest visitation since 2002. In 2003, we were right about the same. 2004, we had rain on Saturday, and then last year, we were impacted by the hurricanes. Adult visitation, and this is interesting, and we'll spend some time looking at these figures, was actually down about 32% since 2000. We feel like that may be a result of the continual and, we believe, effective family focus on getting folks out here at Expo. Does that have a negative impact on people who do not have families that don't respond to that? We will look at that. Repeat visitation was up significantly last year. We always like that. Word of mouth continues to be a big way that people find out about the Expo, so they bring their friends and their families. We can say without a doubt that they are us out on the Expo grounds. Our constituents remain a major part of who comes to Expo. 30% bought a hunting license in the last 12 months, 44% bought a fishing license, 65% bought or plan to buy a license of one kind or another, and look at this, 70% of our visitors have been to a state park. And in an analysis that we did a couple of years ago, we are driving, we believe, visitation to our state parks at Expo because people want to come out and find out where they can go next as they explore that. Here's some other interesting information I know you'd be interested in related to hunting and shooting. 22% of the adults reported that they shot while they were at Expo. 12% of that amount had never shot before. 12% of that 22% had never shot a firearm before. And there's a direct and very strong correlation we found between shooting and hunting experience. Now remember, we're just looking at Expo. This is not the general population. But here's what we can say about people that shoot and about people that hunt and come to Expo. They are male, they are Anglo, they are rural, and they have been to Expo before. So they like what they find here, and they continue to come back and enjoy learning about the outdoors. Why do we do Expo? Two very simple reasons. One, we want those people that are our constituents that are engaged in the outdoors to continue to explore it and ways that they can recreate in it. We also want to bring up those future generations so that they understand our heritage, and when they grow up, they are just like us. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Ernie, great job, as usual. You know, and I'll tell you, some people have asked, what difference does it make? I don't think we could ever imagine, you know, what the real impact has been. I mean, you do a great job surveying, but clearly, people care about it. People are coming year after year. It really has not dropped off. And those are some impressive numbers that we're really introducing some people that, but for Expo, they would not be constituents. It's a great job. Any other questions or comments? Keep it up.
Thank you.
Break the leg, Gary.
Break the leg, Gary. Yeah. All